Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. This is the season. Noel, come and see what God has done. Well, I'm so glad to be with you today. And I have to. I would be remiss if I did not say and offer a hearty shout out to the Victory Christian Fellowship Church in Florence, Alabama. What an amazing time we had yesterday there. My family and I were able to fellowship with a beautiful, beautiful group of believers. And you guys know that if you're members of the body of Christ, you're members of the family of God, you're members of my family. And I love getting able to, you know, actually reach out and connect with the various members of the body of Christ. You know, when you connect with people who share your commitment to Christ, who enjoy the beautiful pardoning, having their sins pardoned, and enjoy the great and robust fellowship with Christ. And as a result, we can have it with one another. So what a beautiful body of believers. I look forward to going back to Florence, Alabama in the future, because it was just a wonderful, rich time of fellowship that I truly, truly, truly enjoyed. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the program today. We're going to begin, as is our custom. I know we got lots of issues to get to, but we have to take a moment and reflect on God's word. And so I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. 1 through 14. And I'll make some comments along the way. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, or the King James says fornication here, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Couple points I want to make from this portion of scripture. First, when it says, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. Paul is drawing from the historical experience that occurred in the history of the Israelites. I refer to them as the first generation Exodus Hebrews. That Paul says that all were under the cloud. He's referring to the Israelites in the wilderness, the Hebrews in the wilderness being led by a pillar of cloud by day, that they literally had that their travels in the wilderness guided by the cloud. And he refers to the passing through the Red Sea, yet doing so on dry ground, as being baptized into Moses. He's making that analogy there, and he indicates that all ate the same spiritual food, referring to the supernatural bequest of manna from on high to the Israelites in the wilderness. And next he says, and drank the same spiritual drink. He's referring to the fact that the Israelites were able to drink water from the rock. And if you recall, I'll make a couple scriptural references just in case you're taking notes, that the rock that the Israelites drank water from appeared near the very beginning of their wilderness journey. And you can cross-reference this with Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And the rock to drink water from appeared toward the end of the wilderness wanderings. And that is in Numbers chapter 20, verses 2 through 13. So you get a picture that the rock was available for water throughout their time. And in fact, much rabbinic exegesis indicates that the rock even followed them around. But then Paul goes further and says that they drank from the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. See, Paul goes further and says it was much bigger than a physical rock that's following them around, but it's actually Christ. Christ providing access to spiritual drink for them in the Old Testament time period. But then he concludes, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. This is part of the reason why I encourage people not to hang their hat in relationship with God on individual experiences, but we develop a comprehensive, systematic theology that and a full relationship with Jesus Christ. I say all the time when I encourage people to understand the word and be able to provide a reason defense for the scripture, that it's not enough for us to say, well, I tried it and it worked for me, because there are many different people of many different backgrounds. I use the example that there was a man who was a liar and a thief, robber, and he was incarcerated in prison. And then in prison, he had an encounter and his life was completely radically changed. He became a moral man, no longer was a thief, no longer had a penchant for whoremongering and all of these things. And that man was Malcolm X. He said that he had an encounter with Elijah Muhammad in prison and his whole life changed. That's why it's insufficient for us to rest the fullness of our faith on experience alone. Now, hear me well. I'm not saying we dismiss experience, but experience alone should not host the fulcrum of our faith. We have a much broader faith that is subject that is not subject to successful scrutiny once we are disciplined learners of our faith. Because look what the Lord says through Apostle Paul, that though these first generation Exodus, Hebrews, they were baptized into Moses, and the cloud followed them, and they ate the spiritual food, and they drank from the rock. That did not prevent them from engaging in the sin at Baal Peor, where you have all of these Israelites taking upon themselves Canaanite women engaged in rank lasciviousness and gross sin that Paul later records that 23,000 fell in a day. You can read this for yourself in Numbers chapter 25, that the plague of sexual immorality was only stayed when Phinehas stood up with the zeal of the Lord. And we know it by our own experiences in our own lives as believers, that there are many people that we say, man, how could they go off into that? They had this experience in the Lord. They had that experience in the Lord. And what I'm saying to you, having these high times alone will not protect us from falling if we are not fully invested in the Lord ourselves. Let me keep going. Verse 6, Paul says, now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Can you imagine? After having been delivered from the Egyptian slavery through the Red Sea, having the pillar of cloud follow you by day, feasting on manna and drinking from the rock, and then becoming so cold toward the Lord where you're easily drawn into sexual immorality. Now, before you answer too quickly, many of us have had similar miraculous experiences. Many of us have been snatched as fires from the burning and brought into salvation. But if we're not careful, and many of us know people that in spite of these great historical testimonies, that the historical testimonies are not sufficient in and of themselves to keep you if you don't want to be kept. Y'all know what I'm saying. And so these things, Paul says, took place as an example for us. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Paul says, we must not indulge in this sexual immorality like they did. We have to learn, or he says, these things are there for our instruction. And this biblical understanding of instruction is not merely, you know, a teacher provided a lesson on a chalkboard. It is, we have been provided these examples to be trained by them, to be exercised by them, to be made fully aware. Listen, because you had that high time in the Lord, that doesn't mean you still don't have the capacity to rebel against him if you turn against him now. Just because you got saved from this dastardly and disparate circumstance, that alone will not keep you if you don't want to be kept. And then Paul goes on and says, we must not put Christ to the test. And then he says in verse 12, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. One of the biggest things one of the easiest ways to fall is if you get to the place where you believe you're beyond the potential of falling, to where you relax your standards in terms of how you're going to interact with people. There are a lot of people that were making fun of Mike Pence when he came out describing how he worked to protect his marriage. Not too many of them laughing at Mike Pence now. You know, I saw a post on social media saying, I guess pincing was a good idea. Let's put some pincing around our marriages. Let's put some pincing around our social media interaction. One of the biggest deceptions we can engage in is thinking that we're beyond what we're seeing happening in the headlines. Is it another way, put no confidence in the flesh. Let me hurry up and get to what I want to get to, because all of this is the main part I wanted to get to. Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall, because there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. There's no new strategy. See, I say it all the time. Satan ain't smart. He's just been around people a long time. So he really just keeps playing the same old tune and throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. And because we're drawn away of our own lust, we think, man, he had a tailor-made plan, and that's not it at all. But verse 13 hits on what really... The reality that there is no temptation that comes our way where God does not provide us the way of escape. And the encouragement I want to offer to us today is to take the way of escape, because Paul compounds that by saying, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. The reality is all sin at its core is evidence, as John Piper says, of what we do when our souls are not satisfied in Christ. When we are not satisfied in the Lord, we manifest a newfangled method of idolatry where we seek to gratify ourselves because we have not found complete satisfaction in Christ. As a result of being aware of these examples, brothers and sisters, let us flee idolatry and take advantage of the way of escape.
a peaceful offering from Israel. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. After a devastating earthquake occurred last month in Iran and Iraq, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu offered a humanitarian assistance to the victims. The quake hit a magnitude of 7.3 at its epicenter in Iran. Nearly 580 people were killed and about 7,500 injured. Benjamin Netanyahu offered the medical aid through the Red Cross. However, his offer was immediately rejected. With the Christmas season in full bloom, Israel's charity comes with the spirit of hope in such a time of need. The Prime Minister said that Israel has no quarrel with the people of Iran. The quarrel is only with the tyrannical regime that holds its people hostage and threatens Israel's destruction. But Israel's humanity is greater than the world's hatred. For more on this story and others related to Israel, visit lc.org.
Lindsay DeLeo was all in for God, serving in church and very public with her faith. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart today. She was also single and pregnant. She wondered, how can God still love me? I'm not sad to have a baby, but I know the way I got here wasn't the best. Lindsay says her youth pastor played a key role in helping her choose life. She says, he helped me see God was not surprised that I was pregnant. He put that precious miracle into my life to teach me just how much he loved me and to save me from myself and future mistakes. Her daughter Reese has helped Lindsay see how the church modeling grace and love can drive us closer to Jesus. Will you help us cradle one heart like Lindsay's today? Your tax-deductible gifts can help us in saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. Give securely online today at cradlemyheart.org. That's cradlemyheart.org. And we thank you for joining us in your support.
Why do people who like Brian Fisher tune in to Focal Point?
To hear what he's going to say next.
Let's go to James from Indiana.
There are so many ways to catch the Focal Point program on one of our almost 200 stations, live streaming at AFR.net, podcast, phone apps, and if you'd prefer to watch the show, we have Facebook Live on our Focal Point Facebook page. Why do people who don't like Brian Fisher tune in to Focal Point?
To hear what he's going to say next.
Join me weekday afternoons at 1 Central.
Join American Family Radio for AFA, Stories from 40 Christmases. This 30-minute radio special features American Family Association staff members sharing Christmas memories. We hope these stories inspire you to draw closer to God as you celebrate Christmas this year.
Over the hills and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. That's exactly what we lived when we went to my grandmother's house for Christmas.
Listen this Thursday afternoon, 2:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Last question on this before taxes. On the question of procedures, the Senate might have a decision to make with Roy Moore if he's elected. Here's something I'm trying to work through. With the president, there were these accusations. They were adjudicated in the election, the White House says. So the voters knew about them and they voted for him, and now he's president. Why wouldn't that same standard apply to Roy Moore? The voters of Alabama know exactly what has been alleged. If he gets elected, what business does the Senate have telling the voters they're wrong?
Well, I think that's the tough question. If the allegations are known prior to the election, which they weren't in the case of Al Franken, for example, then we have a very tough decision to make about whether it's our role as senators to overturn the will of the people. Now, I think it's a different situation if the allegations are not known or if they occur while the person is sitting in the Senate.
Right. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here at American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I just find it laughable because it's apparent to me from this interview, that was the voice of Senator Susan Collins being interviewed on CBS this weekend about what should happen, because in case you don't know, there's a huge election this Tuesday, tomorrow night in the state of Alabama. All Alabamans listening to my voice, tomorrow is your day. Make sure you make it to the polls. You have a United States Senate election between Judge Roy Moore and Doug Jones to see who will fill the Senate seat vacated by Jeff Sessions when he took the attorney general position. And it's just remarkable to me that Susan Collins actually fixed her mouth and mine to say on national television that if the people of Alabama select Judge Roy Moore to be their U.S. Senator, after having all of the information available to them, including all of the allegations, she says, well, the Senate will have a tough decision to make. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to be calm because I have a guest in the studio. I don't want to be quite abish with the in the presence of my guest, who is American Family Action Vice President Rob Chambers. But I have to get this out now, Rob.
Don't hold back.
For her to have the audacity, Stephen A. Smith here, the unmitigated gall, the perspicacity to say that the Senate has a decision to make. Excuse me, Senator Collins, there is no decision for you to make. If the Alabamans put Roy Moore in the U.S. Senate, your only decision is whether or not you want to have lunch with him. But there is no decision concerning whether or not he's going to serve in the Senate. And it just once again shows the mindset of what I would consider the authoritarian, supreme elitist swamp rats that is truly a bipartisan institution, that they think that, well, you know, well, if Alabamans make a choice, I mean, I guess we have to think about it. No, you don't have to think about it. You follow what the Constitution says. And what does it say? Oh, your only job is to swear in the man and seat the man who the Alabamans chose. Well, let me get back to my civilized ways. Because I stated, AFA Action Vice President Rob Chambers is in studio with me. And I invited Rob onto the program because you guys don't know, but Rob is one of the drivers of the engine behind it. He helps us with lots of information, lots of research to keep us abreast of the things that are happening all around the country. And I just want to talk a little bit with Rob about what's happening concerning Senator Roy Moore's race. So I pulled up, I was mentioning to him before, that if you, I went to Real Clear Politics and they have what, 9 different polls up today concerning the Roy Moore versus Doug Jones race. Let me make sure I count it right. 8 polls up. 5 out of the 8 polls say Judge Roy Moore is up. I mean, you have the Emerson poll, the Monmouth poll, the Trafalgar Group. The Emerson poll, the Trafalgar Group poll, the Gravis poll, the WBRC TV poll, even the CBS News poll all have Roy Moore up by 6, 7, 4, 5, or 9 points. Then one poll, the Monmouth poll, has him tied. And there are 2 polls that show Doug Jones ahead. One of them you won't be surprised. Actually, both of you won't be surprised to learn. You have the Washington Post that has Doug Jones up by 3 points, which is within the margin of error, which tells you something that even the Washington Post, who has endorsed Doug Jones, has put the race in between the margin of error. But then you have the Fox News poll, which I call New Fox, not to be confused with Old Fox. Mm-hmm. They have Doug Jones up by 10 points. Now, Rob, somebody has got to be lying with these polls.
Somebody's lying somewhere.
So what's going on?
Well, hey, if you go back and you listen to some of the reporting on Fox News, even going back to the primary election where Judge Moore was running against Luther Strange, and even Trace Gallagher on Fox News put out a junk poll even then showing that Luther Strange was well ahead of Judge Moore. That was even in the primary. So, you know, I've smelled this rat back in the primary with Fox News. And so here we are again. Here, Fox News is pumping out junk polls, putting Jones ahead of Moore by 10 points. It's just it's ludicrous.
And it seems that the ludicrousness, if that's a word, is pretty obvious when you see almost every other poll in the exact opposite direction. And then not only to be different, but to put it at 10 points.
Yeah.
That is amazing, amazing to me. Well, we know that the race tomorrow, the election will be decided tomorrow night by the Alabamans, whether or not Doug Jones or Roy Moore will be the next U.S. Senator there. And clearly they're going to have to make a decision. That there have been many allegations lobbed towards Judge Roy Moore during this race. Now, we know he's been a lightning rod for controversy well over 3 decades in public life, but this is the first time many of these allegations have been brought to light. And, of course, we don't want to minimize issues as serious as sexual harassment or sexual assault, but you routinely hear people saying 8, 9, however many women accusing Judge Roy Moore of sexual assault. Well, that's not actually what happened. It's only a few, and even the few who have accused, two who've accused Roy Moore of sexual misconduct, those two individuals, those women's stories have been discredited in many instances where where details concerning their allegations have at least been brought to the place where people in Alabama can say, I'm not so sure about that. So the people in Alabama are going to have to make a decision. So beyond the accusations that's getting the most attention, what are some of the policy positions that Judge Moore and Roy Jones maintain? What are some of those?
Well, before getting to some of the differences there, it's important to understand the net effect moving forward from this race, the implications of having a Jones senator versus a Moore senator, what's going to happen. And some of the policy decisions where they differ will directly impact the type of laws, or excuse me, the type of legislation that's going to actually make it to President Trump's desk.
Yes.
And so, and primarily, of course, one thing that's directly impacting the president or could in this election would be judicial appointments, although that's not a bill that would reach the president's desk, but the president makes appointments, judicial appointments. And it's clear in the AFA Action voter guide. You can go to afaaction.net. If you're in Alabama, go to afaaction.net. And it's pretty clear right there where you can get the voter guide. But these judicial appointments, so Doug Jones has made clear the policies and decisions that that show what type of judicial appointment that Doug Jones would support or vote for. So any judge that President Trump would put forth and it would make it to the floor of the Senate, I have very little doubt that he would give them a thumbs up. He would vote them down. So that's just one sample, and that's huge.
It is huge. And in case you're wondering what Rob is talking about, he's talking about the constitutional division of authority, where it is the president's prerogative to nominate people to executive positions, to nominate people to the federal judiciary, but it is the Senate's role to confirm or refuse to confirm those nominees presented by the president. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of the roles that the U.S. Senate will have. And to be frank, I'm going to speak clearly here to this. Part of the reason, some of you are thinking, man, why is there such intensity surrounding this race? You know, why is so much happening surrounding this particular race? I want to make it clear to everybody, because the margin within the United States Senate is razor thin.
That's right.
You guys have heard me say I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. There really is one ruling party in Washington, D.C., and I call them the Republicrats. Mm-hmm. All right. So though there is a 52-48 majority of Republican senators in Congress, there are some senators who profess to be Republicans. I'm looking at you, Lisa Murkowski. I'm looking at you, Susan Collins. I'm looking at you, Olympia Snow, who profess to be Republicans, but for all intents and purposes, on most issues, they vote with Democrats. So with a 52-48 majority of Republicans, should a seat that has been held by a Republican, Jeff Sessions, and for the meantime now, Luther Strange, go to a Democrat, Senator Doug Jones, then in all intents and purposes on paper, that 52-48 majority becomes a 51-49 majority. But the reality is the Democrats have a consistent voting group of at a minimum 51, if not 52, senators. For all intents and purposes, if the Democrats are able to win this seat and Doug Jones becomes the next U.S. senator from Alabama, then you will see the effective screeching halt brought to all things that would be a conservative legislative agenda. You will see the very things that President Trump campaigned on, the additional promises he has yet to fulfill. You will see none of that happen, because everything will stop in the Senate. That's why the stakes have been raised so high surrounding this. And you cannot forget, for example, John McCain. Remember, he was the last vote to repeal Obamacare with the skinny repeal, which I didn't like. But just to give you an understanding of what happened, John McCain thumbs down the skinny repeal, and there's no skinny repeal with the 52-48 Republican majority. That gives you an example why this is so important. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some other examples?
Yeah, some other examples. All right, so just judicial appointments. Yeah, some other things like immigration, border security. We understand there's a legislation that's passed the House called Cates Law that would basically implement some type of immigration reform. What we want to see is the border security beefed up. We want to see a wall. We want to see sanctuary cities defunded. We want to defund these cities, and those are two things that Doug Jones would not be with Trump on that. He actually I think I can a direct quote would, I think he said, it's too expensive is what he said about the wall. So national security is too expensive to put up a wall there to protect our country. And another thing is abortion. That's huge. Doug Jones supports abortion all the way up until the child is fully born. That means there is no exception for Doug Jones to save the life. He does not want to save the life. He wants to protect a woman's life to choose all the way through full 9 months, okay? So he's on par with Obama, okay, on his abortion policy. Another thing is the homosexual and LGBT agenda. He's fully and supportive of that. I've seen a video of him saying he is fully supportive of the LGBT agenda as so far as allowing men who think their women into the boys, the girls' restroom and dressing rooms, things like that. So that is Doug Jones. He's on record as supporting that agenda. He would be for transgender serving in the military, and you've probably seen that on the news today. And last of all, Obamacare. He's supportive of keeping Obamacare. He's actually believes that health care is a right. So basically, he's for socialized medicine.
So these are just some of the things, and I thought it was important for the moment to spend some time to talk about some of the issues that are not really being discussed as much. There are attempts being made, and again, that the people of Alabama are going to have to make their decision. They have as much information as we have at this moment, and they have to make their decision. But I think it's important to also bring up the policy position and the issues that are prevalent in this particular race, which gives you an idea why there's so much attention being focused on this particular race, because again, it represents the potential to completely put a screeching halt to the President Trump's agenda.
Absolutely it does.
And that is not an overstatement. We've seen how, with a 52-48 majority, how there haven't been very many legislative victories since President Trump has been in office, and he's been in office nearly a year now. So we see that the margin is razor thin. Anything else you want to say, too?
Take this vote, for instance. Does anybody recall when Mike Pence had to break a tie?
Mm-hmm.
It was on related to funding of
Title 10 funding of abortion, yes.
Okay, all right. So remember, so that meant when that vote took place, then there was a Republican Alabama senator on that vote, okay? So had that seat been filled by a Democrat, even though Mike Pence was there, there would be no opportunity to even pass that bill addressing abortion right there.
And that was to allow states the opportunity to remove any federal funds they get away from abortion providers, where it was a 50-50 vote because, as I said, two of the Republican senators voted with the Democrats, and having a 50-50 tie, Mike Pence was able to come in as the vice president in his constitutional role to vote to break that tie. So that literally gives you an idea of the high stakes that are prevalent in this particular race. So I just would encourage everybody, first and foremost, all Alabamans to vote. Secondarily, to do so with as much information as you can. But most importantly, I would say prayerfully. Prayerfully to consider what's happening, because it's a very, very serious election. And I think it's important for you to voice your concerns. AFAaction.net, there's a voter guide available if you want to just do a little bit of research. And the thing that the AFA Action Voter Guide includes is citations to these things, where you're not just hearing people's opinions about these issues. You're actually able to get it straight from the horse's mouth, to go and see what they believe, to go and see where they stand. You can see what their record happens to be on these various issues for yourself. Rob, I'll give you the last word for this segment.
Hey, thanks so much. And hey, getting out to vote is it's a right and it's a responsibility. And I encourage you to in Alabama to vote. Vote your values, beliefs, and convictions. Staying home on election day is not an option. And you can go to, again, as Abe said, go to AFAaction.net. Get this voter guide. It's their words. It's Doug Jones' words and it's Judge Roy Moore words on these various issues. You can get it right there, AFAaction.net.
Go and do it, AFAaction.net. To get the voter guide tomorrow, December 12th, United States Senate election in Alabama tomorrow. You definitely want to vote. Well, on the other side of this break, because I know you can hear that disrespectful music, we will definitely take phone calls, but we'll talk a little bit about the attempted terrorist attack in New York City that happened today, and we'll take your phone calls. So if you want to be a part of the program, you can do so by calling 888-589-8840. That number again, is 888-589-8840. On the other side of this break, more Hamilton Corner. Stay tuned.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, Carl Kirby here with Reasons for Hope, and today we're talking about butterfly wings. Once this cunningly crafted creature emerges from the chrysalis, it completes the building of its wings by pumping them full of fluid from its stomach. Have you ever touched a butterfly's wings and then noticed there was dust on your fingers? Well, that's not dust. Those are actually scales. Butterfly wings are made up of thousands of scales that are arranged like the tiles on a roof, but they're much more complex. The scales themselves aren't always colored like the feathers of a bird. Instead, they're in multiple layers and separated by air, causing light to be refracted and creating an optical effect so that we see very intense colors. That's why they seem to change colors when we look at them from different angles. Fact is, with 20,000 different patterns, these aerodynamically efficient solar panels of perfection point toward a perfect designer. Hey, blind chance, try explaining that one. For more information, check us out at rforh.com. Stay bold.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. The carnage could have been unthinkable at 7:20 Eastern Time this morning, rush hour in New York City. A crude pipe bomb exploded inside a passageway near the Port Authority bus terminal. It was strapped to a 27-year-old man from Bangladesh. The New York Post reports the man had been living in the United States for 7 years, allegedly set off the device in the name of ISIS. Three others suffered minor injuries. One anti-terrorism cop told local reporters the device could have killed a number of people. In other words, New Yorkers should be counting their blessings today. The unthinkable was averted this time. New York City's mayor says it's time to go back to work and carry on. He said there were no specific or credible threats against the city. But that's not very reassuring, seeing how at 7:20 this morning, there certainly was a specific and credible threat against the city. I'm Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. Well, if you haven't heard yet, there was, and I guess I would describe it as an attempted terrorist attack that was averted, thankfully, in New York today. And according to New York Police Department Commissioner James O'Neill, Monday's explosion at the Port Authority bus terminal was a terror-related incident. Some details from the incident. The explosion occurred below ground near the 42nd Street and 8th Avenue in Manhattan in the Port Authority bus terminal. At least four people, including the perpetrator of this heinous action, were injured. The perpetrator was a 27-year-old named Ikayed Ula, who is from Bangladesh originally, but he lived in Brooklyn at the time. The New York Police Department commissioner reported that the perpetrator wore an improvised low-tech explosive device, which was attached to his body. The device was attached to his body with Velcro straps and zip ties. The perpetrator told authorities that he had made this low-tech pipe bomb while he was at work. When asked, the NYPD commissioner said that the perpetrator did make statements about him doing this in the name of ISIS, but he did not elaborate, the commissioner, that is, at the time. But the commissioner did confirm that the perpetrator indicated that he attempted this attack in the name of ISIS. What happened is that the perpetrator entered the Port Authority, the bus terminal, the Port Authority bus terminal, with a pipe bomb attached to himself, but he detonated it prematurely. He detonated the bomb prematurely, where it caused burns and lacerations on his own body and injured three other people with non-life-threatening wounds, two of whom were transported to hospitals in the area, and one was treated on the scene and released. Now, I have to, and again, we're late in the program. I don't know how Abish I'll get on this one. But I just got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of people calling these guys lone wolves. The man indicates that he's doing this in the name of ISIS, yet the media is fixated on calling him a lone wolf. How do you call a man a lone wolf who said he is doing actions that are inspired by other people that we know what the ideology is? I'm just asking myself, how long will we as Americans continue to play stupid? Continue to play stupid and allow these things to happen. If this guy would have made it all the way into where he was trying to go and detonated the bomb, it would have been disastrous. Disastrous. Disastrous for our country. Thankfully, the bomb detonated prematurely. No one was killed. But I'm just a lone wolf. The man is not a lone wolf. He may not have had any people with him in this particular occasion, but there's no doubt about it. He was inspired, as he reports, by ISIS and attempted to execute this attack in the name of ISIS. So I just wanted to share that a little bit with you. I have other news and information, but callers are lining up. If you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. Once again, the number to call is 888-589-8840. We'll go first to Alabama. Got a lot of calls from Alabama today, where Shauna is on the line. Shauna, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Go right ahead.
One of the issues that I have with what you and the gentleman were talking about before with the Senate race is that you were saying that Doug Jones is for late-term abortion. Late-term abortion is illegal across the board in the country. The only way that anything like that could possibly take place is if the mother's life was in danger and she was going to die.
Thank you for that, but that says nothing about what Doug Jones said himself. I'd encourage you to go to the Voter's Guide and see what Doug Jones, out of his own mouth, regardless of what you refer to as late-term abortion being illegal and not illegal, and I could quibble with you on some details because there are places where they allow it based on their interpretation on life of the mother and things like that. But Doug Jones said himself that he supports abortion up and through the ninth month. That's his own words. So regardless of, you know, your attempts to say that, well, it's illegal, so Doug Jones's words should be nullified, I just respectfully disagree with that. But thank you very much for your call, Shauna. And again, I encourage you to go and check out Doug Jones's own words. You know, and I think most people, especially those who are part of this audience, they know that the way that people skirt the prohibitions in different places concerning late-term abortion is that they finagle with the definition of what they mean in terms of the life of the mother. In many places, they construe life of the mother to mean the mother's potential mental health. So anyway, but I don't want to quibble with you. Thank you for your call. We'll continue with callers from Alabama, where we'll go next to Becky, who is on the line. Becky, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Did you say Becky?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Okay, good. I was hoping you did. I'm for Judge Roy Moore, and I have been the whole time, but I mean, I've seen what he stands for. He's willing to lose his job to stand for Jesus. And I was going to vote for him when he was running against Luther Strange, and they had all these ads out against him saying, you know, that he had flown in jets and got millions of dollars and all this stuff. And And just for to get more and more mower, they used his name like Roy Moore to get more and more mower. And so I was going to vote, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, when I get in there, I want you to tell me to vote for him. I want to vote for him, but I want to know it's you. So I got my pencil in my hand. I was ready to vote, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, vote for Moore. You'll get more, more, more of what I stand for.
All right. Thank you very much, Becky, for your call. I appreciate that. And it is an important race, guys. It is an extremely important race. We'll go back to the phone lines. But again, if you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to do so. The phone lines are open. You can do so by calling 888-589-8840. That number to call once again is 888-589-8840. We'll go next to Louisiana, home state, where Wade is on the line. Wade, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate your show. On Roy Moore, which seems to be the important thing right now to talk about, it seems like, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this angle, you know, as believers, Christians, and even non-Christian people of conscience, what we want is people to change for the better and, you know, become better and better. Christians want us to become more and more like Christ. And Roy Moore, whether or not he engaged in something, all of us have had sins known, you know, and hidden secret sins and sins that have been exposed. But this man has been married for 20, 30 years, and it looks to me like even if he did some things that were – and, of course, I know some of the stories have been discredited. The woman admitted that she fabricated the story about the school annual. Mm-hmm. And so deceptive, you know, for political purposes. And but the man has become just a stalwart of everything that what people want. And you know, there's something to be said for changing and developing for the better. You know.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Wade, that is true. I think part of the issue why not many people. I've heard that angle discussed. I've mentioned it in some ways. I hadn't hit on it, drilled down on it. But I think part of the reason why is that Judge Moore hadn't talked about it in those terms. I think that's probably why not many other people have picked up on it in those ways. But the facts are, all of these allegations are from decades ago, prior to him being married. There are no allegations concerning anything that has transpired since he's been married. He's been faithfully married to his wife, Kayla, for over 3 decades. Over 3 decades. And so again, I think one of the things that many of the people that are wrestling with is, especially in this moment where more people are being are becoming sensitized to the issues of sexual harassment, more individuals are recognizing many of these things. I think many people are wrestling with the fact of attempting to become more responsive in that particular sense, but at the same time reconciling that with, but does that mean we completely discard what we know concerning Judge Moore to be over 3 decades plus of what only can be described as faithful commitment to his wife and discharging his public responsibilities pursuant to the Constitution and his conscience and the biblical fidelity. I mean, that is what people are faced with. So that seems to be some of the things that are being navigated at this moment. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Georgia. Where Brian is on the line. Brian, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. I'd like to say, as a South Georgian, I also support Roy Moore. I think we need more men like him in the Senate for sure. But the reason I called is to ask you, how is it possible that the commander-in-chief of the executive branch can be overrode in regards to national security by a district court judge? That baffles my mind.
It should baffle your mind, Brian. If we're in a sane world, there's no way that should be possible. But because we're living in a world where the federal judiciary is dominated by, I would say, post-constitutional regressives who themselves are imbibed with the intoxicant of hubris that they fancy themselves as being the final arbiters of all things lawful. So they have appointed themselves, and the Congress is all too willing to go along with this self-appointment as being the ultimate wielder of authority within our federal system. The Constitution clearly indicates that the president is the commander-in-chief, and as the president, the Constitution indicates this, and the statutory authority reflects the reality that the president has the prerogative to set national immigration policy. That's a fact, and it has been a fact up until really in recent history, this particular president. And the unfortunate reality is that the Congress is all too willing to go along with it. And I've said before, there are two things that Congress can do to stymie this. One, they can impeach one federal judge, impeach just one. Or two, pass a bill shutting down one of these Article III courts because they serve at the pleasure of Congress pursuant to Article III of the Constitution and reestablish that Article III court with a fresh slate of newly appointed judges by President Trump. You do that one time, I think you'll see a different response from the judiciary. Back to the phone lines, where we go next to Indiana, where Kevin is on the line. Kevin, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Hamilton, for being in my corner.
Go right ahead, Kevin.
And I appreciate that. Three things. First of all, the reason they say that this guy, who obviously needs to read the instruction manual before he touches anything, the reason they say he's a lone wolf is because anything that would remotely agree with President Trump's wanting to, you know, increase security when it comes to immigration, they'd rather die. Okay, that's the first thing. So that's why he's a lone wolf. Secondly, a judge getting involved with these decisions made by the president is about as hilarious as a judge getting involved if I tell my daughter she can't go to the grad, can't go to homecoming.
Don't speak too soon, Kevin. They want to get there too.
Oh boy! Well, I know they'd love to get their grubby, they'd love to get their grubby paws on it, right? And run say that they're the parent, right?
Right.
And thirdly, as far as Ray Moore, you could put Ray Moore in a lineup, and I said this earlier, you could put him in a lineup, and Mitch McConnell couldn't pick him out. That's how much Mitch McConnell and these other guys know Ray Moore.
You're absolutely right, Kevin, and it's no doubt about it. The reality is, these people really don't care up or down about Roy Moore. This is all about stopping President Trump's legislative agenda. That's what this is about. That's why you see such furor surrounding it. But back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Mississippi, where Rusty is on the line. Rusty, you've been holding for a little bit. Thank you for doing so. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Abe. How are you tonight?
Man, I'm doing better than I deserve, brother. Go right ahead.
Listen, just a couple of points real quick. It's no secret. The left's trying to set a template, and they're trying to set a template for how they're going to do these midterm elections in 2018. It's all going to be racist, misogynist, bigot, Nazi. And if they happen to be successful at it this time, it's going to be a landslide in 2018 with how they act. And my other point, I like to keep things simple. Anytime that there's any kind of moral confusion or whatever with people, I like to tell them this. I, as a human being, as a Christian, Jesus is my Savior. I will never side with people that murder babies.
Thank you very much for your call, Rusty. I appreciate it. I got Thomas on the line from Alabama. Thomas, you have 20 seconds. Go right ahead, Thomas.
Yes, sir. I just want to say I'll be voting Roy Moore in the morning. And when it comes time to reelect Mr. Shelby, I'll be finding him another job.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Well said. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Hamilton Corner. I've been saying it all day. This issue with Judge Moore, it's not about him personally. He's been on the scene all of these years. The issue that regressives are fighting to the death for is that they want to be a part of the Resist Trump movement. They do not want a conservative agenda. They do not want President Trump's legislative agenda to get any traction, because guess what? It might just work. And if it does that, they know they've lost the whole ball of wax.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.